The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die any more, because they are like angels and are sons and daughters of God, being children of the resurrection." And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's first reading comes from the book of Maccabees in the Old Testament. And if you've never read the Maccabees, I recommend that you read it because it's a very interesting events are depicted in the two books from the Maccabees. It depicts family. It depicts friendship. It depicts loyalty, betrayal, war, courage, victory, defeat, faith in God and his miraculous interventions. It's quite an exciting read, actually, very interesting. Now, the first reading comes from the book of Maccabees, and the events took place about 160 years before the time of Christ. And at this time in the world history, Greece is still a world power to be reckoned with. And the king is Antiochus IV. And he was a descendant from one of the generals who was part of Alexander the Great's army. And King Antiochus, he had invaded Egypt with a large army, had conquered Egypt. Then he set his sights on Israel, and he also conquered Israel. And he sets about, after he's conquered and defeated Israel, he sets about plundering the temple. And he puts into the temple pagan idols and other symbols of the pagan Greek religion. And then he tries to impose Greek culture and Greek religion on the Jews. He forcefully tries to get the Jews to deny their religion. And any Jew found practicing his religion is put to death. Any Jew who's not willing to sacrifice or burn incense to the Greek pagan gods is also put to death. So it was an attempt to completely overthrow and stamp out the Jewish religion and Jewish culture. Things come to a head in the book of Maccabees when the king's representatives come to a Jewish town where there's a man named Mattathias. When the king's representatives try to force the townspeople to burn incense to the pagan Greek gods, Mattathias and his family, they killed the Greeks, the representatives. And then he and his five sons flee to the hills, and they gather around them a strong army of like-minded men. And then this begins the formal Jewish resistance against the cultural imperialism of Greece. And so it was during this painful period in Jewish history where the events in today's first reading take place. And we read today how a mother and her seven sons are arrested by King Antiochus and his men. And they are, first, they're promised all kinds of riches and favor from the king if they're willing to deny their Jewish faith. They don't. And then they're tortured one by one. And none of the seven sons would deny their faith, and each one is killed in the presence of their mother one by one. And then finally, the mother herself was executed. Now, it sounds kind of like far out and very extreme, but it's not really that extreme. These things happen on a daily basis somewhere in our world today. According to the World Watch Organization, last year there were 245 million Christians around the world who face hard persecution because of their faith. They could face violence, they could face imprisonment, torture, and death simply for being a Christian. You and I, here in North America, we're not exposed to this kind of hard, violent persecution. But we do, I think, experience a soft persecution. It's a persecution that does seek to undermine our faith and our Catholic values and beliefs, but in a more indirect manner. For example, as you know, laws have passed in our country that support behavior that is directly opposed to God's commandments, such as abortion and euthanasia. Try praying in front of an abortion clinic and you'll be arrested, and chances are you'll go to jail. If you're pro-life, if you have pro-life views, you're not allowed to run for the Liberal Party, the NDP, or the Green Party. Laws and policies have passed that seek to override freedom of conscience. If you're a healthcare practitioner and a patient comes to you and wants an abortion or wants you as a doctor to help them commit suicide, and you say, no, I can't do that, then the medical profession is saying you have to refer them to someone else who will. And if you don't, you put your own career in jeopardy. As a pharmacist, if you refuse to fulfill a request for what's called Plan B, which is a pure abortifacient, you run the risk of losing your job. And same-sex marriage has been legalized, which is direct opposition to the Sixth Commandment. And simply, just try going to university or on TV and say that you publicly don't agree with pushing the LGBTQ agenda in schools, and you will be labeled as homophobic or a racist. And the same thing will happen if we say that we disagree with the theory of the gender theory or transgenderism. Now, this last one, the idea that our gender is fluid and that it's independent of our biological sex, that's really contrary to our faith, and it's contrary to science. And yet, it's gaining great acceptance among many people who think that that's the only compassionate response to people who struggle in that area in their life. But really, when you think of it, true compassion has to be rooted in reality, has to be rooted in truth. Otherwise, it's not real compassion, and it can be very harmful. This past week, I heard a presentation by a Dr. Michelle Critella. She's a pediatrician, and she's the executive director for the American Academy of Pediatricians. And she was saying in her presentation that it is a scientific fact that our bodies determine our sex, that biological sex is not assigned or invented. Biological sex is determined, she said, at conception by our DNA. And every single cell in our body is stamped either male or female. So if our cells have a normal Y chromosome, then we develop into a male. If our cells do not have the Y chromosome, we develop into a female. And in fact, science estimates there's 30 to 37 trillion cells in our human body when we're adults, and every single one of them is screaming either, I'm male or I'm female. And Dr. Catella said there are actually over 6,500 genetic differences between males and females. And they're hardwired into our body at conception in our DNA. Now, that at that time, conception with our DNA, that's long years before anyone is able of a rational thought or a rational decision. So it's very true when Scripture says God made them male and female he made them. And then Dr. Cretella went on and she said, now our identity and our self-perception, that comes much later in life. And that has to do with how we think and feel about ourselves. And our thoughts and feelings are not hardwired into our cells or into our brain. How we think and feel about ourselves is a result of countless influences and life experiences. And our thinking and feeling sometimes can be right, and sometimes we can be factually wrong. For example, today, if I came into the church and said, "Hi, I'm Pope Francis," and I really believed it, doctors among you would say, "Oh, Father, you really need some antipsychotic drugs," you know. But if I went into my doctor's office and said, "Hi, I'm Father Geraldine, and I'm really a woman," my doctor might say to me, "Congratulations, you're transgendered. You want an operation." and again, if I went to my doctor and said, "Doctor, this left arm here, it doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. It's a foreign object. I've got to get rid of it, otherwise I'm going to commit suicide. I just can't take it anymore." The doctor would not remove my arm. He would diagnose me with what's called body identity integrity disorder. And he would treat me for that, because obviously my perception is wrong. It's a real disease. But if I go to my doctor and say, "I'm really a woman trapped in a man's body, please surgically alter my body to be a woman," I could get that done. Another ironic thing is the American Academy of Pediatricians recently came out with a report, and it urges pediatricians to warn their patients about getting tattoos, because tattoos, they say, are relatively permanent and can scar the body. But the same Academy of American Pediatricians is 110% in support of surgically changing teenagers from male to female or vice versa, and to do this without parental consent. All that's required is that for the teenager to go to the doctor and over time insist that they're in the wrong body, like that a girl insisting, for example, that she's really a boy, and to have been on puberty blockers every day for 1 year and has turned 16, the doors open then for the surgical operations to begin. In fact, medicine recommends that these puberty blockers should begin already at age 11 and 12, but sometimes they begin already at 9 years old. And so Dr. Michelle Cretella, she concludes her presentation by saying, "No one is born transgender. Maleness or femaleness is hardwired in our DNA at our conception. And it's expressed in every cell of our body." And she said, if it was different, if our identity was wired into our brain before birth, she said, then identical twins would have the same gender identity 100% of the time, and she says they don't. She continued and kind of concluded by saying that indoctrinating children that they could be trapped in the wrong body, she says, is a lie. The idea that gender identity is fluid, she says, is false. The theory and the ideas that these theories, she says, they disrupt what she calls the very foundations of a child's reality testing. And if a child cannot trust the reality of their physical body, then who or what can they trust? So she said that gender ideology in school is really psychological abuse, and it's child abuse, because it can lead to permanent sterilization and surgical mutilation of children. Now, of course, everyone wants to be, and we should be, and almost goes without saying, compassionate, loving, and caring towards people who have those struggles. But really, authentic compassion is only true if it's rooted in reality. And transgender ideology is simply not rooted in reality. And so today, the first reading from the book of Maccabees, the Jewish people at that time faced a foreign power that tried to stamp out Jewish belief, Jewish culture, Jewish religion, and it was violent and it was a hard persecution. This is taking place in many countries in the world today, but here in North America, it's more of a soft persecution. It comes from people who often embrace humanism or materialism or relativism, and they're trying to stamp out our Catholic values and beliefs and our Catholic Christian worldview. It's more of a soft persecution, but it's very real, and it can undermine our faith. So today, I really believe we're living in history and in a time where many people in positions of power, people in positions of influence, they're really confusing right from wrong. And so you and I really need to make the effort, if we want to be faithful to Christ, to really learn our faith and how to defend it, and to pray for courage to really stand up for our faith with the utmost of love. Otherwise, we live in a time when we could, if we don't do these things, we could lose our faith at some point in the future, and that would not be good. So let us today pray for that grace to come to really know our faith, live it out with love, and persevere.